Welcome to The Learning Curve, a show about helping kids get good grades in school and succeed in life. The Learning Curve is for parents, teachers, and students, because all of life is a learning curve, and you'll succeed to the extent that you can learn easily. Now, here's your hosts, the authors of How to Learn, How to Teach, Overcoming the Seven Barriers to Comprehension, Roger and Virginia.
Are there advantages for single-gender schools for children? Does it work better for kids the way schools were prior to going co-ed? Today's guests are Beth Black and Denise Savage of Cherokee Creek Boys School. Beth and Denise are a font of wisdom on the subject of educating troubled children. So without further ado, I'll let them speak for themselves. So welcome, Beth and Denise.
Thank you. Welcome. Good to be with you.
That's good.
So you have, or you run, a Cherokee Creek Boys School, and it is described as a therapeutic boarding school for middle school boys. Can you explain what this is?
Yes, thank you. This is Beth Black, and I'm the founder of Cherokee Creek Boys School. And I started Cherokee Creek Boys School truly as the response to a calling that came when my son was at a similar program in northern Idaho. Oftentimes what we find, and unfortunately in growing numbers, children have a hard time growing up, and a lot of times their behaviors begin to act out, and parents find themselves with a child who, for the most case with our children, are non-compliant with school. They just simply are not going to school, or they have some other underlying issue that is causing them to not perform well or to not be able to fit well into their family any longer. And some of these issues are things like depression, anxiety disorder, oppositional defiant behavior, Asperger's disorder, and those are things that can be clinically dictated by a therapist. I like to look at the next level and say, well, what else is going on in this child's life? And the answer to that is things like 70% of our children come from families where there's a divorce. About 30% of our children come from families where they've been adopted. Many of our children have lost one or more, or one or both of their parents. And the kids that come in with issues around adoption and Asperger's are also basically grieving something. One of the other things that is tragic in this day and age is that practically 100% of our boys have been bullied in school, so they don't like themselves, and going to school is not safe for them. And the final thing is that there's one common denominator for all of these children, and it is that they are profoundly sad. Something is simply not working in their life. And when you're the parent, the one thing that I say, because I started in with my son at the age of 4, knowing there was something going on, it is when you're the mother or father, but quite frequently it is the mother, and your gut tells you that there's something wrong, and your gut tells you that you have not found the answer yet, that's when parents begin to look at placements like a therapeutic boarding school, which incorporates for us a combination of therapy with licensed therapists, group therapy sessions, but an academic component, which Denise is here to talk about, because we have a very unique type of classroom at Cherokee Creek. But it also means that we try to create a life of balance with these boys between therapy and academics, because they've received a lot of that at home, by adding recreation and personal enrichment activities like camping, kayaking, canoeing, hiking, all kinds of activities. We say it's a place where boys can be boys.
It's a boys-only school, I notice.
It is.
Yeah.
So if parents who are listening to this realize, gee, this is something my child really could use, how would they get in touch with you?
They can find us on the website at CherokeeCreek.net, one word, CherokeeCreek.net. And also they could give us a call at 864-647-1885. And I would also offer this, other schools may not do this, but you may have a daughter and not an 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old son. We are happy to help anyone that has a question. We know the resources in this field. There are hundreds of schools out there or programs, wilderness programs and specialty schools, and people simply don't know that they exist, we are happy to open the door to anyone who might want to find out more about what is the world of therapeutic board of schools and therapeutic programming for children.
Okay. Beth, what struck me in this day and age is that it is a single-sex school, boys only, where the rest of the established educational setup is co-ed. I was educated in Australia long ago in a boys-only school. That was the paradigm. They went co-ed, I think, about 1960. So have you seen any advantages, or what was the reason for you restricting this to a boys-only school?
Well, I'll give the first part of the answer, and then I'd like to have Denise talk about the benefits of it in the classroom. We chose it as a single-gender school for many, many reasons, but not the least of which, these children are supervised 24 hours a day. If they're young, so we want to have an awake staff 24 hours a day. The one thing that we didn't want to do at this point in their lives is to throw girls and hormones into the mix.
Yeah. That screwed up the Australian education system in 1960. I can tell you that.
Right. Well, they have other things. And in fact, girls can be part of their own feelings of insufficiency. We want these boys to learn how really, truly beautiful they are, how great they are, and it's so much easier to do when it's single gender. We have a lot of men there as counselors and therapists to be role models, but we have enough women there as well to kind of be the mom factor, because they are a little bit young, but it doesn't cause much of a challenge for us. Well, it doesn't really cause a challenge for us in any way, with the exception that oftentimes a classroom full of boys is a different climate than a classroom full of girls. The reason we selected it was just specifically so we could address the issues of boys, which is huge these days. Boys' brains are different than girls, period, the end. They're just different creatures. So if we speak, and
you're,
you know,
quite emphatic about that.
Yeah, totally emphatic. Michael Gurian, who is a very highly published author on the differences between boys and girls and their brain-based differences and genetic-based differences as well. And he has offered in many of his books models and teaching points for us that we totally embrace at Cherokee Creek Boys School. And in fact, I am a speaker for the Gurian Institute because I do believe in the research that they have put together on the reasons that boys and girls are different and why we should prepare a different classroom environment for them.
Yeah.
And that's what Denise does. She has, again, a very unique situation for our boys.
To say that boys learn differently is just such a small statement to the whole picture. They need a different atmosphere. They need a different type of day. They need, you know, the absence of girls to be able to focus, and as much as I've been an educator since 1992, it's a different world out there for young men these days. As much as we've empowered our girls, it's become huge, the amount of perhaps assertiveness would be the best word, but boys are very confused these days, so taking the young ladies out of the picture is doing them a great service. Well, I was going to say, we have completely structured our day to fit the way a boy works. He needs to have his action in the morning. He needs to get up and start moving, and put our physical education class in the morning. So they're out there doing calisthenics some days and Tai Bo other days, and going to the weight lifting at our local Dakota Falls College and weightlifting with some of our athletic directors and our more athletically inclined councils at the school, and it sparks them, it awakens them, it gets their brain moving, and it gets their brain functioning first thing in the morning. So sitting on a bus and you're trying to figure out what's going on with the girls across the way there. So we just find that the changes that we've made in our day just by putting PE first has made huge changes in the classroom later in the day.
Yeah, that's a good call, Denise. I know we've had guests on before who have actually spoken on the point of the difference in the way in which the boys learn as compared to the girls,
mm-hmm.
and also how differently they behave in a classroom setting. The girls typically are quite happy to sit quietly and do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Most girls, Virginia's shaking her head, she's such a tomboy. And the boys are far more active and tend to fidget a bit more. In fact, I was told in 1963 by one of my old gurus in Australia that, and you see it on television advertising, by the way, the biochemistry is different between boys and girls. Men... I'm just going to say that they have it in perspiration ads. Men tend to be more acid and the women tend to be more alkaline. And they actually have electrochemical polarity differences, which makes the whole thing work. But they do behave differently. And I think that at that age, there is merit in actually having the genders separated so they can be themselves.
Well, mm-hmm. I do have one question. Those are great values for having single gender schooling. I've never been through it. And I have to say that there are times, looking back now, I wish that I had been in a single gender school. It probably would have cut down on the distractions I had. But are there any drawbacks to having single gender schooling?
You know, I can't think of one at the moment. I honestly can't. We have our boys off campus doing activities within our other school districts and our intramural teams. They certainly have interactions with girls and much bravado as they have and on campus about girls. When they actually meet them face-to-face, it's really quite funny. And to a minor degree, the socialization with the girls, but they continue to have it when they have their visits home. And here they can focus on academics, and they can focus on getting back onto the academic track that they were having so much difficulty with in their homes.
I think one of the other explanations that is sort of unfortunately condemning of the American school system is that essentially we have designed classrooms that are designed for girls, and we're asking boys to sit in them. Mm. Material is presented in a logical, sequential order. Boys are spatial. They need to move. They need to move their hands. We offer a highly experiential classroom. We offer classrooms where we only have up to 12 boys in a classroom. And the other unique thing, which this is why Denise is totally a saint, because we have 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade in one classroom.
Wow. Mm.
And she, as our language arts teacher and social studies teacher, has to teach all of those grades at one time. Mm. It's not hard when you're doing math, and that is a computer-based curriculum that the boys can advance to themselves. Mm-hmm. But Denise has to create a curriculum that can suit the minds and the development of each one of these children, wherever they sit.
That is
a challenge, which is why we're so highly experiential.
That sounds an awful lot like Montessori, because she was very much into creating work, as she called it, for every level of child that was in the classroom.
Absolutely. It's very much like Maria Montessori, very much so.
Yeah. So who recommends that the boys attend your school?
There is a profession out there that is called an educational consultant. Mm-hmm. And an educational consultant is probably the world's best kept secret. I didn't know about educational consultants until I had already gone around and dug things up and found a therapeutic boarding school myself. But these people are highly trained individuals, generally with a degree and background in education, who will find the correct placement for your child academically. It doesn't have to be a therapeutic boarding school. Your child could have an Asperger's disorder, or could have a learning disability, or could want to take painting and go to an art school. But these people know the various different types of programs. What I would recommend to everyone is that they go online, and one place to find these resources would be through the Independent Educational Consultants Association, IECA. And there are listings by states of people who they can recommend, and you don't have to have a person from your state. You can do a lot of this consulting via telephone. So we receive probably 80% or more of our referrals to our school are through educational consultants who are very familiar with everything that we do. And in today's day and age, when you've got the internet, everybody puts out a nice, most people put out a nice website, but that's marketing.
Right.
You don't really know what the substance behind it. And these people do. They travel and they find out the answers, and, you know, they have their own opinions, and some like some programs and some don't like them for whatever reason. It might be that one person is highly trained in academics, and they're saying, well, this isn't the greatest academic program, but it's a really great physical program. The other thing I would recommend to parents is that there's another website called Woodbury, WOODBURY.com, which has a struggling teens referral, and there are many, many, many therapeutic programs listed on there, as well as educational consultants. So those are the two big clues that I would give to people tonight, and that will take you on a very amazing journey just to know those two things.
That's really valuable information. I had not heard of that. Pender Educational Consultants, that's good. What qualifies, or how do the boys qualify to gain admission to a school like yours?
Denise, you want to answer some of that?
You mean how do we choose who we accept?
Well, if that's what the procedure is, that you have to accept the boys first, yes.
Basically, we take a look at their clinical profile first, I would say. We do narrow our focus. We do a great deal of work with families, and for one thing, there has to be family buy-in to be able to come to the sessions that we require them to come to participate in family therapy. There just wasn't enough family buy-in, but we don't take a child and say, we're going to fix him for you. That's not how we work. It is a complete family process. And we have one of the best clinicians I've ever met in my life, Jane Barker, who is very much into the family systems program and helps the families understand what their role was in the complete breakdown of the way things were working in the family. It's not necessarily a school problem or a family problem or which came first, the chicken or the egg. It's a total systems problem. And Jane takes a complete look at that and helps the family understand their own dynamics and where things could be improved. So, first of all, there has to be family buy-in. And then the second thing is that we will take, Beth, how would you describe it? Kind of a softer,
gentler child. These children have not been arrested. They have not been, if there's a drug issue, it would be something that would be very mild experimentation. Our boys, generally, is that when I use the word sad, it's probably a really good descriptor. Mm-hmm. They just need that little extra nurturance, and they need the focused attention of people who really care. And, you know, it sounds kind of schmaltzy and corny, but, you know, I'm all about schmaltzy corny, so...
It works.
and you know what? It's also true.
Yeah.
One of the things, if you interviewed our parents about the school and how it works for them, they would all say it is so nurturing and it is so warm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frankly, that's a prerequisite to working there. And we don't say that, and it's not written on the form, but if you aren't naturally a warm and nurturing person, you will not enjoy your time at Cherokee Creek. We hang out with the kids. We have a living room. There's a living environment. We call ourselves, our mission statement says that we are a learning community. The challenge is boys and their families to discover what is real and true about themselves and the world around them. And we chose the word learning community because we recognize that every day we learn as much from these boys as they learn from us. Wouldn't you say, Denise?
Absolutely. And our tagline is that we are the small school with a big heart. And I mean, our employees, the people who work there, our counselors and our therapists, are the most heartwarming, heartfelt, warm, kind people I've ever met. We're not interested in having a huge school. We're interested in changing families' lives
and
boys' lives and getting our results. So we will not take a child. You asked what was our criteria for letting someone in. We will not take a child that we know we cannot help. Someone with a more serious drug problem
or violent,
exactly.
Because they're too disruptive. I noticed that you mentioned several times the kids quite often are sad. In my experience, it's often because kids have been invalidated or given losses and put down, and that will make anybody sad. Good to hear that you really recognize that problem and handle the kids so they have some wins in life and develop some personal certainty and self-esteem and then expand instead of contract. That's wonderful.
School success is absolutely critical to their lives. That's why I never dictate to them how they're going to show me that they've mastered content. I'm so open in the classroom, and I encourage my teachers to be so open in the product. How would you like to show me that you understand the material we've just covered? Do you want to write a poem? Do you want to write a song?
That's clever.
Do you want to act it out? Do you want to draw it out? You know, there are so many talents within our boys that aren't being allowed to be shown, expressed through the test and retest and teach to the test that we have in our public schools right now. It's just not working.
It's killing the system.
And I understand No Child Left Behind. I understand that teachers need to be held accountable, but our boys are suffering for it.
Yeah, well, they're departing from actually educating kids. They're simply cookie-cutter testing
knowledge.
Them. Yeah.
Stuffing them full of facts and figures again.
Yeah. No, I like the point that you, really do involve the parents, because that's a part of real childhood academic success. This involvement of the parents, you actually have a program that literally handles the parents as well?
You are getting the exclusive, because tomorrow we are sending out an announcement that the Cherokee Creek Family Center has been launched. And what that means is that the family programs that we have offered historically, that have kind of, one person has kind of been an organizer, but everybody's kind of got their finger in it, and it's not been fully managed to the most effectiveness. We've now pulled everything under one roof. This was a vision of mine from the very first prospectus that I wrote for the school, because at the program that I went to, they had some good family programs, but they also essentially left parents out of the loop on telling them what their child was learning and how they were going. And I'm thinking, that's absurd. paying for this, how can I support my child when he gets home if I don't know what
the
he learned?
Going on, right. Yes, and how do parents pay for this? The various options, is there government support for it? Because obviously this is probably a lot more expensive than regular educational costs to the educators, in your case, the school.
It is. And that is one of the hardest things that I had to reconcile as we opened this school. This is a private pay operation. There are some places that can offer loans. Some people can get loans. And there are some school districts that are required to pay for the education of a child if that child cannot be educated in their state with a program. So we do have some states that are paying for this. We also have, which I would highly advocate people to get in there and work on this, is we have several people that are coming and being paid through programs through their businesses. We've had the Salvation Army was one of them, and Procter & Gamble was another, and I think that it is Shell Oil right now that is doing it. Their employee assistance programs are paying a portion of this. Other than that, it is private pay, primarily because it is a nightmare for us as the providers to go into any other kinds of projects. A lot of people have their own private pay insurance, and that pays as well. I had to reconcile the fact that for those people who wanted to be the programs that would receive government funding, that there's going to be a person that can do that. That's not something that I can do. So no. We do not do that.
So I noticed on your website that you have you follow a philosophy called the fourfold path. Can you tell us more about that?
I would love to tell you about that. When I was beginning to think about how we would create a program that would include character education along with the therapeutic aspects that were going to be necessary, I wanted to find something that was not a religious program, because I believe that every parent, it's their privilege to teach religious education to their children. And I also wanted to have it open to as broad an audience as possible. And what came to me at that time was a book that I had read called The Fourfold Way, written by a cultural anthropologist named Dr. Angeles Arian. And Angie, in her work, created a medicine wheel that reflected what she calls perennial wisdom. Perennial wisdom being defined as any truth or statement or value that is found consistently in 85% or more of the cultures of the world, particularly starting with indigenous-based wisdom, which would be the Maoris, the Aborigines, the Native Americans, all around the world. And those particular values were courage, love, truth, and wisdom. So as we look at that, if 85% or more of the cultures of the world believed it, that was good enough for me.
That's a good starting point. And of course, what that essentially means is whether you're Catholic, Protestant, or Jewish, or Sikh, or Hindu, or whether you're black, white, yellow, green, or orange...
You're on board with
it. You're on board with it.
Yeah.
And it's very lovely to get back to core values, and Denise does a wonderful job in the classroom teaching these values through the academic component with things like hero studies and things like that. And then our therapeutic staff also use these same values when they're talking to the boys to define behaviors, to define beliefs. And, of course, this is also the core, the curriculum for the parents. And courage is to show up and be present. And how many people simply aren't present in their own life? Parents who simply aren't there. Visionary is to speak the truth without blame or judgment. Well, a lot of people will say that they're speaking the truth, but there's a ton of blame and a ton of judgment.
Yeah.
And no one's just being accountable for telling the truth. And then the healer is to do what has heart and meaning. And that's very important to us because our boys, many of them are simply the different drummer. It's why they weren't doing well in school. These are your kids who are artistic, and they're not necessarily the best athlete, but they've got these amazing gifts, and we're saying, it's really cool for you to be you.
Yeah.
And we want you to use your gifts. So do what has heart and meaning. And we say that to the parents, too, who a lot of them are out there in this workaday world, and they're not doing what has heart and meaning. They've given up their life with their children, and they really, frankly, don't like their job very much. And then the last one is that lesson of the teacher being, the phrase is to be open to outcomes. In this world of high control, it is the hardest thing, which sort of means you have to relax, be with the flow, look at the outcomes, and not be so overly controlling that you can't see that there may be another way, and not limit your possibilities. And our boys really get this. It's very interesting because it can be quite philosophical in some ways. We have tried to concretize it through our academic program and through our medicine wheel teachings, but we find that it gets richer and richer and richer every year. It sounds very simple, but it's sort of like do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's a very simple concept, but very few people are able to do it consistently.
They're wonderful values to instill in young folk, actually. Yes. Really important.
Thank you.
So I noticed you have what you call your Passages program. Can you describe that?
One of the things that we know is that the family needs to be strong when the child goes home, and the child and the parents both need to have realistic expectations of what it is like when the child returns. For those of you who have been expats and moved from another country and moved to the United States and gone back home, or anyone that's spent a long period of time living overseas or somewhere else, you know what it's like when you go away and you change and you go back home.
I feel like a tourist when I go back to Australia, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's this wonderful sort of story about the square-headed American who goes to live in the round-headed France.
Yes.
And he really, really, really wants to fit in. So what he does is he starts to chop off the corners of his little square so he can fit in with the round-headed people. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that he can fit in, but he's never really a roundhead. He's become a hexhead. When he goes home, he's not going to be a squarehead again. He's a hexhead. So our little boys are going home as hexheads. They're neither fish nor fowl. They have totally changed, even though their faces may change.
Yeah.
And we need to tell them what it's going to be like as a hexhead to go back to the land of the roundheads again. William Bridges has written a wonderful book called Transitions, and we use that a great deal, which talks about endings, neutral zones, and new beginnings. And this neutral zone is what Americans particularly have no concept of, and that is the time when you are neither fish nor fowl, and you think you're going crazy. It's the time when kids can so easily slip back into a familiar old behavior, even though they don't like it anymore. But it's what they know, because they think they're crazy, because their friends don't understand them. So our Passages time is a time where we begin to ease them back into their home environment. We talk to them about opening bank accounts and how to get around the school that they're going to, getting a job. And we also talk to them about the fact that even though you say this might be the worst place in the world that you've ever been, which of course really they don't think that, but they kid about it, you will miss it. And when you get up in the morning, you're going to be lonesome for those 30 other boys that used to bug the heck out of you. So we try to prepare them for that during this time of passages, and that's what that is.
That's true.
It's a design curriculum.
That's a very wonderful program, because you're right. You hit it right on the head. It's like the men coming out of the military. Suddenly they're thrown into a whole new world, and they don't have that transition period.
Absolutely, and that is a perfect parallel example. Everyone expects things to be the same.
Thank you very much. That was a bit of an eye-opener for me. Going to be a lot of use and value to our listeners, I know that. So, folks, the website for Beth and Denise is CherokeeCreek.net, and I recommend you go there, and also to the Independent Educational Consultants Association, and get all the information that is useful to you there. So thanks, girls. We'll be in touch again.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us. It's been our great pleasure.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to The Learning Curve with Roger and Virginia. For more information on the subjects covered during the show, visit howtolearneasily.com or send an email to questions@howtolearneasily.com.